Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
It is the Hagman Report for today. It is Tuesday, March 26, 2024. I want to thank everyone for tuning in. Thank you so much for your belief and trust in this platform. Of course, last night, during the night, we saw a container ship flagged out of Shanghai take out a pillar at the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore. It's really gonna have a dramatic impact on both traffic and, of course, the shipping port over there. Details are sketchy, but folks, I want to tell you this: when you look at the news headlines, think about how quickly the headlines are coming in, and imagine having the position to triage, or being in the position where you kind of have to triage the headlines. I'm telling you, my guest today, the man behind the Liberty Daily. Folks, if you haven't heard about this, and I can't believe anyone hasn't heard about this. Remember the days, and you folks, you know this. You would go to the Drudge Report to check out the so-called conservative headlines, or at least the...
Used to be good.
Used to be good, right? I mean, in a sense, I guess, way back during the blue dress days, of course. You know what I mean. And then something happened, and people took notice, and people were very dissatisfied with what was going on at Drudge. And this is when we were getting started. My son and I were getting started in having this platform, and we came across thereafter a site called The Liberty Daily, which will be in the program description box at HagmanPI.com. And folks, if you're not familiar with this site, and again, I can't believe you're not. I'd like you to do something. I'd like you to write this down. If you're driving right now, if you're listening to this on any one of the AM stations that we are on, especially West Virginia, a great shout out to West Virginia. But nonetheless, write it down, commit it to memory, or bookmark it if you have the opportunity. But make sure you have the Liberty Daily accessible to you at all times. And there's a second website I would like you to make sure you've got handy, and that's the Discern Report. It's Discern Report. Again, the link will be in the program description box at HagmanPI.com. These two sites represent a major part of the information I bring you, we bring you, on a pretty much on a daily basis. As a matter of fact, in my absence in February, at the top of the screen, Eric the Tech, before I left before we had some, we had some discussion, and we directed people to, of course, Liberty Daily, because that's where a lot of show prep comes from, because they're on top of things. Well, the man behind it, Mr. J.D. Rucker, is on top of things. I think he probably gets about 45 to maybe 90 minutes of sleep a night, or a day, or whatever, however it works out. Because every time I look at it, the site is updated. Very small operation, very tight, but very on point. Now, the Discern Report, one of the articles from the Discern Report was written by, let me get this right, Mikhail Massey. And the title is, yes, they're trying to destroy the Constitution. And I want to bring this up before I bring my guest on. because this, if there is any one thing I believe that's taking place amid all of the headlines, amid the bridges going into the river, amid the concert shootings in Moscow, amid the P. Diddy sex scandal. Oh, yeah, there's that. This just constant flow of headlines from this fire hose of current events. At the root, at the heart of it all, is what I believe is taking place right now, and that's the destruction of our country and what they, the enemies of our republic, what they're trying to do. And I just want to cite from this briefly. I don't want to waste the time of my guest, who I've got a lot of admiration and a lot of respect for. So I just want to cite from this briefly. Writes the author, we're not fighting a conventional war. Therefore, conventional weaponry and strategies won't work. Any and all attempts to reclaim lost ground are pointless because an unconventional war cannot be won conventionally. We're in a full-blown spiritual war. Now, folks, you've tuned into this program. You understand the meaning, the intense meaning of that. And, of course, he continues, the enemies of American and global civilization as a whole understand said factoid very well. America was truly a gift from God to the world, second only to Moses, Abraham, and other great leaders found in the scripture. But as I've repeatedly said, this again according to the author, the only thing our governmental construct was unable to protect America from were evil and wicked men. And of course, going back to the founding fathers, you know, our republic is and constitution set up for only a moral and religious spiritual person. Now, America is being deconstructed piece by piece. Speaking metaphorically, the author writes, the illusionists have the people focusing on how the rabbit got out of the hat, failing to realize that the rabbit was never in the hat. This is a good piece. I saw it earlier and I thought, wow, right to the point. And one of the statements, and I want to bring Mr. Rucker on right after this, is the truth has been misstated to the point that even well-meaning people unconsciously accept in advance the fraudulent representations. If you think about that statement, folks, if you think about that, isn't that what we are attempting to avoid? We want to be informed, but we don't want to be misinformed. And we don't want to have people tell us that we're misinformed when we are indeed informed. And we want to be able to trust the people where we get the information from. All mistakes happen from time to time. But you know what? It's important to me. It's really important to me to make sure that when I sit here, or if I go out there and speak to people, that the information I'm delivering is factually correct and all-encompassing. And I find that, and folks, again, I find that at the Liberty Daily and Discern Report. And, of course, following J.D. Rucker on social media as well, I find that this man does his homework, and he provides the information accurately and fully. So I've got a lot of respect for him. And I won't get into the story as to why this should have been happening about 4 years ago. I'll tell you what, I feel like I've known, by the way, Mr. Rucker for the last, however long he's been publishing the reports and we've been citing the reports. It's been a long time. So with that, Mr. Rucker, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Doug. That was extremely. I am blushing. That is probably the best intro I've ever had. I can't achieve anything better. I'm just going to go now.
Okay. Yeah, we're done. No. It's just. I feel like I know you. There's this. I don't know how to describe it. I think we're both looking for the truth out there amid this. Oh man, these crushing headlines, and there's always there are always people out there trying to misdirect us. And you, of course, have kept me on the straight and narrow path of accuracy. I appreciate that.
Well, I appreciate you saying it because that is the intention. You know, the goal here is to be as discerning as possible. Now, like you said, there's going to be mistakes made. Okay, yeah. You can't be first and be 100% accurate 100% of the time. There's going to be times when, you know, you jump on a story and then you come to realize, hey, you know what? That one wasn't accurate. That wasn't correct. It does happen. But we strive to make sure that what we put out there is going to be accurate. It's going to be verified. And if it is a rumor, okay, we'll note that, hey, this is a rumor, or this is a theory, or this is, you know, reports are saying. We won't say definitively, you know, oh my gosh, the video about the Kate Middleton, that's AI, that's not real, that's, you know, I mean, maybe it is, maybe it isn't, but we can't tell for, we don't know for sure. So we'll put it out there and see what people think.
Do you have like a method by which you assess the weight, value, importance of the headlines that you provide on the Liberty Daily and the stories that you put together on the Discern Report? How in the world in this day and age do you do this? I mean, it's got to be like I'd be you know, looking for a place to jump off, given the amount of information. How do you do that?
Well, there is a lot, and as you said, it's a small crew. It is it's very tiny. But so then again, so was Drudge. Drudge was a very small crew. You know, we call ourselves the Dread Pirate Robertses. If you're familiar with what was it called? The Princess Bride. You know, that was the owner of the site, the originator of the site, Matthew Burke. And yeah, he wanted to retire. So he went on a quest to find somebody to effectively replace him. And he found me a few years ago, and I was as close to him as possible, I guess the easiest way to put it. I could understand him. You know, I could be, you know, slowly over time, I could start taking more and more and more to the point to where he just stopped working on it and just gave it all to me. But then there needed to be, you know, for him to truly be able to do that, we needed to find a third Dread Pirate Roberts. And so we found another one and we trained him. And over time, you know, got it to where the intention there was that no matter who was working the site at any given moment, nobody could tell the difference. You know, and that's, I think we were able to achieve that pretty well. Now we've got Matthew, the original, you know, he is out there buying classic cars and playing golf or whatever he does. And, you know, it's funny because he feels like he sometimes complains that he's disconnected from it. And it makes me realize because the process, I'm getting the answer to your question. The process is extraordinarily, it's time consuming, but it's also very much it's engulfing. So we have feeds that we read, and those feeds, these are just the feeds from websites like whatever, Gateway Pundit or Breitbart or whoever, InfoWars, whatever it is, you know. We have this feed, and there's about 200, I think it's actually up to about 300 now, 300 websites that are on this feed. And we list out all the stories that are in the feed. And we have to go through all of them. But we also have to go through everything that's on Twitter. We have to constantly monitor Twitter to see what's happening. You know, the feed is not going to show, for example, at 1:30 a.m., no website's going to have the story about the bridge collapsing last night. But Twitter did. Twitter had it within literally like 8 minutes after the collapse. The first video came out about 8 minutes after the collapse actually happened. And so we got to watch there. We also have to watch the local news, which local news sometimes has the greatest, you know, hidden gems. I always say when we find something on local news, you'll see it on local news. And then a couple hours later, you'll see it on the Liberty Daily. A couple days later, you'll see it on the Blaze. And 2 weeks later, you'll see it on Fox News. That's usually the how these things work out. But yeah, you know, so the process is we go through the feed. We bounce back and forth to Twitter. We're always on. One of us is going to be on at all times, with the exception, I think, from technically speaking, from 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. There's not supposed to be necessarily somebody on, but we go on anyway most of the time. And that's how we get the stuff done. Always staying on top of it, reading every headline, every single headline. It's about 2,500 headlines a day. We read through them all and we sift through. Now, you said, how do you determine it? You know,
yeah,
that's the big question.
Yeah,
how do you pick out the winners and the losers? Number one, if it's got velocity, we can tell. So, for example, let's say, let me just pick out a random story that's on the site right now. So, I'm not seeing any good ones that could act as a good example. Because obviously, like, there's stories like Julian Assange getting a temporary reprieve. That's obvious. You know, I don't need corroboration to know that's a big story. Whereas a report saying that Joe Biden doesn't feel any sense of urgency on the border. So we saw that article originally on the Political Insider. And the Political Insider we consider to be a, you know, middle of the road source. So we have to corroborate that against, you know, is that real or is this clickbait or is it, you know, something that we don't want to publish or is it 2 weeks old or anything like that? So we have to check it against the regular other sources. If a, you know, bigger news outlet like the Epoch Times or the New York Post or any of those are also covering it, then we know, okay, so this is legit. If they're not, then we'll wait. We would keep that story sitting there. But we'll see, is there any other corroboration that this is real? Because anybody could say, oh, Joe Biden doesn't care about the border. And sometimes it's going to be true and sometimes it's not. In this case, it turned out that, yes, he did seem to, the reports are coming in, that there is no sense of urgency here because they feel that as an election issue, they would be better off. It would behoove them, the campaign, it would behoove them to fix the border in August, September, October, or closer to the election than to do so now. Because if they do so now, they're not going to be able to score as many electoral votes is what it comes down to.
Yeah.
So true story there. So we posted it.
Okay. You know, 35 plus years as an investigator, one of the most difficult things I've always confronted with when you deal with people, you deal with nuggets of information, you've got to verify the veracity of that information. And that kind of was the impetus for my question, you know, behind your process. So it's pretty much jobs are the same. The job levels are the same. Myself as an investigator and you as a investigative journalist, you've got to verify the veracity of the information, of course, evaluate the importance to the whole, and then provide it to the public. So, fantastic, and you do a marvelous job because you cover so much. You know, it's just an amazing, I'm astounded how you cover so much. So you've got this down to a science. And by the way, the look, the appearance, the template, the Drudge-like template, that was no accident, right? I take it?
No.
Okay.
No. We wanted people to have a home. You know, let's face it. Drudge had been putting out great content since even before Breitbart was there. They were doing a very good job. And then, as you noted, something happened around 2017-ish. 2016, well, really, 2017 was when it started happening, and I have my theories about that. But something definitely happened, and so the need became clear. The people wanted an alternative. That was where so many of us, myself included, that's where we went. That's where we started and ended our day. Yeah. You know, if we really wanted to know what was happening in not just the world, but specifically in conservative world, you know, you got the world on one hand, you know, talking about Tom Brady or whoever, but then you have conservative world on the other hand, and hey, we got articles from the Federalist or whatever. Hey, it worked. And then it stopped working.
Mm.
So we needed to something people would be familiar with.
Okay. And folks, again, if you haven't done so already, familiarize yourself with the Liberty Daily. That's necessary show prep for me, as well as Discern Report. Again, the links will be at HagmanPI.com. So make sure you go there and make sure you bookmark both of these links and support them as much as you can, because we need this kind of information. We need the information that they're providing us. And you can see the conservative bias. You can see the Christian conservative bias in this. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing, because it's fighting the woke ideology that's destroying this country. So you've got this, in addition to the information, to me, when I read this, I come across, I'm left with a feeling of hope as well. You deliver some hard-hitting stories, but you also provide the information that, hey, there's hope out there as well. You know, you seem to be long on America. You seem to be long on freedom. And that's what I get from both sites, as well as your social media. And folks, you can follow them on social media. Again, the link will be in the program description box. So it's all good. Now, having said that, okay, looking at the just over the last 24 hours, my gosh, I don't know what we're going to talk about. There's nothing happening from, you know, I mean, no, I'm of course kidding, but let me ask you this, as a person with your experience triaging the headlines, what's most important that we should be looking at and talking about and even stuff that we haven't talked about that we should be?
Sure. Well, there's the big one lately, and this is something that I've been hammering for months. I would love to say I've been hammering it for years, but I consider myself late to the game for hammering it only for the last few months. But now, for the last couple of weeks, it seems to be getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and that's the problem of squatting. Now, here's the funny one. You'd be like, well, it's squatting, that doesn't affect people as much as, you know, the border invasion or the economic collapse or food shortages or war with Russia or Taiwan or the next pandemic, you know, whatever you want to call it. None of that. That's not as big. And I say, hold on, though. I say, hold on, when it comes to squatting, because there's something very different today and what you're going to see in the very near future. Different when it comes to squatting. That we didn't have this problem before, and we saw it. It's funny, because I had actually tweeted about it a few weeks ago, saying the next big not catastrophe, I don't know what I called it. It was the next big problem that we're going to face is when you have this invasion, these invaders, when you have these illegal aliens learning about the squatting laws in various blue states and blue cities, and realizing that they can very easily just take a home. And that they can live there rent-free, legally, quote-unquote, almost indefinitely, or at least for months, if not years. Once they learn that, then all of a sudden, the entire real estate market can be attacked. And once the real estate market is attacked, the real estate industry can quickly collapse. And if and when that happens, then all of a sudden, you have a return to 2008, 2009, except the big difference now is that, you know, imagine if 2008, 2009 happened during a time of economic distress such as we're already in today, okay? Ooh. You take the house, you create a new housing bubble similar to 08, 09, but with today's inflation, today's stagflation, today's recession, today's de-dollarization, all that stuff, and it is, okay? Ooh. So, as crazy as it sounds, I can actually, if given enough time, I could draw the argument that squatting can lead to the destruction of the United States in less than 6 months. That's the big one that fewer people are talking about. I'm just saying.
Wow.
I'm not saying. I'm just saying.
Okay. Well. Okay. I never thought of it in that respect. I did have an incident. I did have a squatter. I did, actually. My father-in-law passed away. My wife was executor of his estate. And I'm being totally transparent with you. Okay, I almost ended up in jail because how I dealt with this squatter. It was a person who knew him. Anyway, it moved into the house or stayed in the house long after my father-in-law passed away and we're getting ready to sell it. And I noticed, wait a second, somebody's living here. And anyway, bottom line, to make a long story short, I ended up taking that person and tossing her out. And how I did so was I didn't open the door, the screen door first. Okay, I just tossed her out through the door. Anyway, the police came and there was a little bit of a discussion about my actions. And yeah, a judge bailed me out, thankfully. A judge said, hey, look, you told the cops the district attorney, this is okay. Just lay off of it. And that's the only way I got myself out of it. But that could have been a nightmare because the police said, look, it doesn't matter. If they've got a toothbrush in the bathroom, they're allowed to be in that house. You've got to take it to a special court. You got to, the eviction, the process would be a nightmare. But thankfully, thankfully I had a friend who was a judge who got me out of that. And the person was never to be seen again. Of course, they call that protective custody in my case. But in the larger sense that you're talking about, you're right. When you consider 08, 09, the housing crisis, and now toss on the interest rates too as well. But that's a little bit different, I guess. But you're right. This could destroy America, couldn't it? What do you see happening with this? Because go ahead.
Our laws, many of them, and it's changing. In Florida, they're trying to change it. People are finally starting to wake up, and we need to make them wake up faster. Because at some point, those places that don't wake up, those places, whether it's a city or a state or a county, if they allow this to continue, and you combine that with the lax laws and unenforced laws, I should say, when it comes to illegal aliens. Now, all of a sudden, you have a recipe for pure disaster because it is so easy for them, for anybody, not just illegal aliens, for anybody. But let's just say, instead of you got in any given city, you might have 50 to 100 we'll say 50 to 100, we call them serial squatters, right? They just bounce around. They know what to do. That number's growing. But what if you're talking about 10,000 illegal aliens or 100,000 illegal aliens or 1 million illegal aliens within a particular state or even in a metro area?
Oh, man.
Now, all of a sudden, they go through, they look online and it's like, all you need is somebody paid by Soros or Klaus Schwab or Bill Gates or whoever to go through and say, okay, guys, here's our list for today. We got, according to realtor.com or whatever, according to the real estate thing, we got house, let's see, we got a 5-bedroom who's got a big family. Okay, we need two, let's get 2 big families. All right, you guys go to this address, okay? stuff like that. And all of a sudden, you've got this taken over. This is how you collapse. I want to be clear. They wouldn't be doing this for the sake of, let's help the illegal aliens. They would be doing this for the sake of collapsing us. Because if that were to happen, now all of a sudden people are like, oh, crap, I got to pull my house off the market. I don't want anybody to know that I'm selling my house. Or, oh, crap, I'm not going to move. I'm going to move into my house because I don't want to risk losing it or I don't want to go through the hassle. And all of a sudden, it's like, panic starts happening and the real estate market crashes much harder than 08, 09 on top of the pre-mentioned economic problems that we're having today. This is why I say, you ask the question, what do I consider the big one that nobody's talking about or fewer people are talking about? That's it. That combined with everything else that we're facing is the big one. I think it's the secret big one, I guess you could say.
And I got to tell you, folks, what a headache that is. Frankly, to deal with, because the police won't touch it. or the police, if they become involved, you as the property owner become the bad guy, and the people living there who've taken over your house have the rights, and the courts see it that way as well. So what a recipe for absolute disaster of the housing market. You're absolutely correct, folks. Bookmark that. Mentally even bookmark that. My goodness. And think about that. If you've never, by the way, if you've never gone through, even on a personal level, if you've never gone through it, you can thank God for that, because it is a total mess. I didn't give that a thought in terms of the magnitude of what that could cause, especially now. So, wow. Okay. Squatting. First we had swatting. Now we got squatting. Jeez. Okay. All right. And the Venezuelan gang member that was videotaped saying basically, hey, you know, he's got a TikTok channel dedicated to just that. So it's organized now, isn't it? I mean,
yeah, it is.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah.
Just, and it's going to get worse if we don't fix it. That's the important part. This is not, we're not at a point of no return yet. Okay. Like I said, in Florida, they're already starting to reverse the squatter laws. We need, this should be, if you are politically minded, at the very least, find out what the squatter laws are in your city, your county, your state, and change them. Do whatever it takes, you know, do whatever it takes to talk to your lawmakers. Make this priority one. Okay, we'll be able to deal with everything else, but this is something that, if it's not fixed quickly enough, then it'll be one of those things where, you know, it's like a slow leak in a tire that turns into a blowout while you're doing 80 on the highway. You don't want to wait until you're on the highway with this. You want to get this fixed before we get into deep election season, before we get into any turmoil that comes with election season, before we get into anything that's coming up. This should be top priority because it's an easy fix. That's the thing. All you got to do is say, I mean, it's literally, okay, fine. You don't want to switch the squatter laws. Great. At least make it to where illegal aliens can't do it. If you do that, then that at least puts a Band-Aid on that problem. Right now they can.
Okay. And Eric the Tech whispered in my ear, and this is kind of a good question. In the meantime, can the government, if there is an issue, could it be possible that the government could take possession or somehow take over the real estate? You know, kind of in line with that you'll own nothing and be happy kind of thing. If this happens in a dispute, maybe, well, we'll just take over the property in the meantime. Is that possible, or factor in there?
It does, and it's whoever's in your ear is brilliant, because that is, you know, we can't look at this as what's the end goal, because that's not the end goal. Squatters, that's not the end goal. Illegal aliens, that's not the end goal. Okay, even the collapse of the American economy, that's not the end goal. The end goal, we can talk about, you know, later, but as far as what's after all those things, it is about taking control of the United States of America. They have two goals. They either want to control us or eliminate us, and they really don't care which one. Okay, it'd be more convenient to just control us. Okay, but if they can't do that, they would rather us die than survive uncontrolled as a nation. Okay, and so when you start looking at what could happen, you know, essentially socialization of real estate. It's already happening, folks. It's happening in the form of public-private partnerships. Now, it's funny because you say, well, but there's no public-private partnership between government and these large corporations. There's no partnership yet for them to control, except that we're seeing laws that are making it to where they're basically the foundation for these public-private partnerships can be formed. And on the other hand, you have these big companies out there buying up all the real estate they can. Private ownership, commercial, doesn't matter. They're just trying to get to buy as many buildings, as many homes, as many apartments as possible, to the point that just two or three days ago, we ran an article over at the Liberty Daily talking about how this generation today, Generation Z and to some extent Generation Millennials, that they're going to be the first two generations that are essentially renters generations. They're not going to own homes. there's not going to be, number one, homes for them to be able to buy. Number two, they're not going to be able to afford it even if they were available. And number three, big corporations that are buying up all the land right now, they're not going to give us any options. Now, you combine that with government partnership with these corporations, and yes, that's where you get into, okay, so it's not state-run real estate. It's not government-controlled, socialist, you know, communist control over real estate. We're partnering with with BlackRock. We're partnering with Bill Gates. We're partnering with Vanguard, State Street, whoever. And we're going to help them to manage this. And they're going to help us to bring sanity, because all you all want is sanity, right? You don't care if you own something or not. What you want is for things to be easy, sure, and normal. It'll be fine. You don't have to own your home, okay? You don't want the responsibility of having to fix the screen door if Doug Hagman throws somebody through it. You just want to be able to say, hey, come fix my screen door, please, and we'll come fix it. Don't worry about it. You don't need to own a home. That's so old school. Okay, boomers own homes. You guys don't want to be boomers, do you?
Oh, my. Well, okay. So this automatically... this automatically deals with or can extend into the farmland issue, like you mentioned, Bill Gates and other companies buying up farmland, right? I mean, same principle, right?
Right.
Go ahead.
No, it is. It's the exact same principle. But that's not about home ownership. That takes it from a completely different angle. That takes it from the angle of obviously food. If you look back, you know, what did Henry Kissinger say? He gave us three primary tenets, but the first tenet that he wanted, as far as being the godfather of globalism, his first tenet was, who controls the food supply can control the people. And if they can control the people, I don't care how patriotic somebody is. You could be out there, you could wake up in the morning and put your hand over your heart and say the Pledge of Allegiance before you brush your teeth. You could sit there and you could be, you know, folding flags, and you could have pictures of Nixon and Trump and Reagan or whoever you like. Okay, Calvin Coolidge. You could have their pictures above your bed, and you could say, you know, give them a kiss every night, and you could be super patriotic. You could have all the guns, all the ammo. You could own your home. You could own all this stuff. But if you don't have food and your family's going to starve, if you can't get food, you're going to reluctantly, but you're still going to be that person who stands there in the FEMA lines, the bread lines, the cricket bread lines, the cricket burger lines, whatever you want to call them. You're going to sit there, you stand there, and you're going to wait for your daily ration, and you're going to show them your vax card, and you're going to show them your social credit obedience card. And you're going to be like, man, this really, really sucks. This really sucks. Thank you for the cheese and bread. Okay, I'll see you tomorrow. You know, it doesn't matter how patriotic you are. If you're not prepared, you're not prepared.
Exactly.
And this is what they want. This is why they want to control us. Mm. Because they know that if, you know, they can control the money, they could do whatever. But if they can control the food, then they take care of 99% of the control factor. They can have us do whatever they want. Folks, so, yes, they do want to own the farms.
Man, this is an intense discussion. My guest, my very special guest, is J.D. Rucker. He's the man behind the Liberty Daily. I respect him a lot. Love his end work product. Of course, there it is on the screen. If you're watching this on Rumble or Brighteon, that's the Liberty Daily. Folks, make sure you bookmark this website and check it every, you know, 5, 6, 7 times a day as much as you can, because it's always being updated. And some of the most important information appears on here, as well as the Discern Report. Again, links at HagmanPI.com. And by the way, I think you were one of the first, if not the first, forgive me if I say this improperly, but aggregation website that really exposed what was going on behind the lockdowns and everything that took place back in, you know, March of 2020 and forward. It's just, you were on top of everything, and everything you posted had turned, as far as I know, turned out to be 100% accurate. So I want to thank you for that, because that gave us a lot of information to work with. I don't know. Again, I'm not sure how you did that, but man, that was a fabulous source of information. And folks, if you want to know, like I said, if you want to know where we get inspired by or the information from or for our program, it's certainly Liberty Daily stands front and center, as well as the Discern Report. We're in World War III, aren't we?
Yeah.
Let's talk about what the hell is going on today with all of the headlines. I don't care if it's P. Diddy. I don't care if it's the bridge. I don't care if it's Moscow or Ukraine or Biden or who the hell's running this country anyway. can you tell me that?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's obviously it's Bathhouse Barry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Barack Obama.
No, it's Bathhouse Barry, man.
You know? Okay, good. Yeah, it's Bathhouse Barry. Bathhouse Barry
By the way, I saw a meme. P. Daddy and Puff Daddy. P. Daddy and Obama, Puff Daddy. Never mind.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, no, that's true. No, and my only question about that is, you know, I don't know what Obama's role is, what his place is within the globalist elite cabal. Is he a pawn? Okay, or is he one of the ringleaders? And it could go either way. I kind of bounce back and forth. I think right now I'm kind of leaning towards he's a ringleader, because but sometimes you see him do things that are like, you know, maybe he is taking orders. So, and we know he's taking orders. The question is he taking orders from his upper-ups within the globalist elite cabal, or is he taking orders directly from Satan? That's it. That's my only question. He's the proxy. Okay. And he has his own proxies. You know, Susan Rice, who's obviously is out now. But when she was in there, she was kind of the quote unquote shadow president. You know, you've got his other people. And I think that the greatest move, the smartest move, maybe the smartest thing that Joe Biden has ever done in his entire life was to pick Kamala Harris as his VP, because that was the ultimate insurance to make sure that Barack Obama wasn't going to boot him out of there. You know, it's like, what are they going to do? I mean, you heard that whistleblower. I don't know if you saw the whistleblower telling James O'Keefe. It's like, yeah, there's discussions about getting rid of Kamala, but they don't want to be the first administration to have a black female vice president and then boot her off the ticket before the end of the first term. That's a bad look. You know, it's like Joe's like, you know, on his more lucid days, he's thinking to himself, man, I would totally be retired right now and 25th amendment out if it wasn't for that masterstroke of getting Kamala, because she's the only person that they couldn't imagine having in there. I mean, if he'd taken Karen Bass or pretty much anybody else, I think he would have been gone. But he is not. So
I'm not so sure that the doors are closed on this. We have that August Democratic convention coming up, and a lot happened between now and then.
To be clear, I do believe something is going to happen. Okay, if you were to ask me who's going to be the Democrat nominee, you know, or what are Joe's chances, I'd say about 30%. Okay, what I'm saying is that if he had picked somebody competent.
Right.
Then they would have gotten rid of him already. He would have already, like, somebody else would be the president today. I'm not talking about the Democrat nomination. I think they are going to do something crazy.
Okay.
I think they are going to Michelle Obama or Gavin or somebody out of left field, you know, that we haven't seen yet. Maybe an Oprah RFK ticket. Who knows? I do think that there's a good chance that he won't be the nominee, which is why I always tell people, stop attacking Joe Biden, attack Democrats, because you could, you know, we might sit here for the next like 3 months attacking Joe Biden, Joe Biden, Joe Biden. Then all of a sudden, all of those attacks, all of that political goodwill for Trump, bad will for Biden, all of it's wasted because now, but Michelle Obama, she had nothing to do with the border crisis, or Gavin Newsom had nothing to do with the horrible economy, or hey, you know, it wasn't candidate B who botched the Afghanistan withdrawal or screwed things up in Ukraine or whatever. I mean, we could be attacking Joe this whole time, and all of those attacks will be for naught. And it could be basically like a keto. It'd be bad for us. So we need to be attacking Democrats. It's their policies that we attack. It's them that we attack, not just Joe Biden or Kamala Harris, in my humble opinion.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that. And by the way, I've spoken at length to Joel Gilbert, who still believes strongly that at the convention something is going to happen where Michelle Obama will work her way in, despite her absolute denials that no, I don't want any of that. She'll reluctantly come on the scene. And somehow Kamala Harris, now, do you know, is she even, she shouldn't even be VP if not, but is she even eligible to be hold the office of president?
Doesn't matter. I mean, she's an idiot. Matter. And she's a total idiot. And the question is, questions of her eligibility, that's, you know, we could, someday it's going to come up. Okay, someday there's going to be a reason.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
No, it's fine. I'm just saying. Oh, no, I mean, if it does happen, I just don't think that, I don't think it's not going to happen with her. I don't think for sure. I think she's definitely not, I don't think they imagine that at all. As far as Michelle Obama, you know, here's the question. And this is what, you know, naysayers, because I've got a lot, I always say that too. I think it's going to be Michelle Obama. People are like, oh, you know, they say, but she's sworn that she would never, she's not interested, she doesn't care. Let me ask you this. If you, let's say you're Michelle Obama, and you intend to replace the current sitting president who was vice president for your husband, okay, and you want to go do things right now to help yourself, but you don't want to look like you're just campaigning. So you know what? What would you do ahead of, let's say, the last moment? What would you do? You would say, no, I have no intention. I don't want to be president. Okay, I'm not going to be president. I'm not running. Nothing you could possibly do could make me run for president. In other words, you would lie. Why? Because then when it comes time, when it's like, oh, my gosh, Joe is a total mess. This can't happen. Somebody's got to save us. It can't be Gavin. He's, you know, he's outed for doing this, or it can't be this person. It's got to be Michelle Obama. And they're like, please, Michelle, please, Obi-Wan, you know, you're the only one who can help us, or whatever the line is from Star Wars. And she's there like, OK, well, I guess, you know, I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do it. But everybody's telling me that, you know, our nation is too important, and that we can't let Orange Man win again. So I guess I'm going to go ahead and do it. I don't want to do it. I hate it. You know, it's the Gladiator line. I don't know if you're familiar with the movie Gladiator with yep. with Russell Crowe, of course. But you know, when Richard Harris's character asks him, you know, do you want to be Caesar? And Russell Crowe says, you know, with all my heart, no. Richard Harris's character, the Caesar, says, that's why it must be you. I can picture them having this discussion, you know, with Michelle. I didn't want to do it. That's why it has to be you. You're the only one that can save us. And then here's the thing, and this is the sad part. People are going to hate on me for saying this. And you're right. I do try to point for hope whenever there's hope available, but I don't want to be unrealistic. I know people say, oh, she's this, that, or the other. Guys, she'll be tough to beat. Okay, if she's the nominee, especially a late coming nominee, where we don't have enough time to get full blown research on her, if we've only got a couple months left and we got to try to take down Michelle Obama, she's going to be tough. She will be very challenging to defeat. That should terrify us. That should concern us a lot. She'd be a heck of a lot harder than Joe Biden. I sure hope. You want to see hope? I hope that Joe stays in. I hope that Joe goes all. I hope that Joe stumbles through and goes back into his basement and they put bee pollen in him or whatever. And then you know, the thing. And they vote for Joe for Senate. You know, I hope that happens. I just don't think it will. I think, again, 30% chance.
I got hairy legs. Yeah. I got to tell you. Yeah, I'm right there with you, and I can't wait because I've got questions about your thoughts on Ukraine. I've got questions on the southern border and many other things, including really your take on the events that you know are coming over the next several months. But before I do, I just want to, folks, just so we're clear. My very special guest is J.D. Rucker, the man behind the Liberty Daily, and one of my favorite sites. I'm on there. In fact, I don't think I've closed a tab since my computer's been on, and I keep my computer on all the time. So I'm always checking the Liberty Daily multiple times a day. I urge you to do the same. The Discern Report as well, both in the program description box for HagmanPI.com for this episode. And I want to thank our supporters and sponsors of the program, including and especially the sponsors that help pay the bills on this show. And, you know, one of the best products I use is Virtual Shield VPN. I'm going to tell you about this because countless people are making private browsing tabs as a way to stay anonymous. That's what they're thinking. They're going to be anonymous from that. It's gotten so bad that one popular web browser had to update their terms to make clear that the private web browsing doesn't protect you from others collecting your data. Even with private browsing mode enabled, you can still be traced by websites and internet service providers. So while many tech savvy people already know that private modes and web browsers don't make them anonymous, the average user is being misled. And folks, that's why I've been protecting my privacy thanks to Virtual Shield VPN, and I absolutely love it. Thanks to Virtual Shield's help, I'm able to browse the internet anonymously, which helps protect myself, my data, my finances from cyber criminals, ISPs, rogue tech companies, or data mining giants. And with Virtual Shield's anonymous browsing, strict no-log policy, unlimited bandwidth, they're built-in malware and blocking. This is a world-class VPN for anyone who cares about privacy. Cover your tracks with military-grade encryption with an industry-leading VPN starting today. Just to be sure, use my link in the description box below. And because every sign-up that's using my link gets 67% off with a 60-day risk-free trial with unlimited bandwidth, anonymous browsing, fast internet speeds across all of your devices. Try it now before sign up ends. Let me say that again. Before the signups end. Did I get that right this time, Eric the Tech? I did. Thank you. By going to, you ready? Make sure you know this, virtualshield.com/HagmanVPN. Make sure it's two N's and add the VPN afterwards. That's virtualshield.com/HagmanVPN. virtualshield.com/HagmanVPN. And one more thing. You know, if you look around our studio, we've got a lot of electricity going through this place. Just like groceries, you know this, I know this. Gas, food, whatever your energy bills are, they're expected to be going up and up and up and up. And I have this to show you. Of course, this is the little box that I use. I want you to go to don'twastepower.com. That's don'twastepower.com. I plug one of these in next to my circuit breaker, another one on the other end of the studio, and a couple in between. Yeah, I think there's one in between, actually, given the size. And I've noticed our energy bills coming down, I would say, just over some double digits there. I've been using this magical little device, folks. I absolutely love it. Thanks to it, I'm able to help slash my power bills. And the utility companies, I'm able to beat them, keep more money in my pocket every month. Folks, use my link in the description below to get 65% off, plus receive several bonuses with every order completely for free. That's right, free. And I'm going to tell you, they got a number of different bonuses there you're going to love. But get them before they sell out by going to don'twastepower.com. That's don'twastepower.com. Once again, don'twastepower.com. Order now before they sell out. And they will. They will. I'm going to tell you that right now. They will. All right. My guest, J.D. Rucker, the man behind thelibertydaily.com, as well as the Discern Report, but two of my favorite websites. And there it is on the screen right there. And with me again, I'm so pleased to have and honored to have the man behind it, those two websites, J.D. Rucker. Mr. Rucker. World War III, hybrid war, in my view. I think we're up against China, we're up against Russia, and by proxy, Iran. But this is a war, to me, like I opened with. I don't think people understand the nature of the war. What do you have to say on any of all of that, your thoughts on that, given your unique, kind of like in a catbird seat there, you know, seeing all of the headlines, seeing all the information flow by, where are we with the war in which we face?
big question.
Yeah, and take, you know, small parts too if you want to.
No. We can go with big answers for big questions. The most important thing, let's start with what we should take away from this, the takeaway, so to speak. And then we'll get into the details.
All right.
The takeaway here is to really start to question everything, okay? And when I say question everything, I'm not saying throw on your tinfoil hat and assume that everybody's out to get you. They probably are, but gee, there's nothing you can do about it. So let's take that out of the equation. And just when I say question everything, look at what's happening and decide, did that happen because of whatever the official narrative is, or did that happen because of something else? And let's take, just as an example, last night's collision, the boat. I don't know if you've watched the video. If you can find a video of it sped up like 8 times, like 8x speed, you'll see that this boat was this cargo ship was perfectly going to go right under the bridge. And then at the last moment, it just starts turning. It starts turning until it's now facing it's on a collision course with the support, the bridge support. And you see the lights, they keep turning off, they keep turning on, they keep turning off. Like all the lights on the ship at one point, completely dark. Now, is that a malfunction? Probably, maybe, maybe not. Could the ship itself have been hacked? Yes, that is definitely possible. And you'll notice that then it's like it's doing, making this turn, it's looking fine, but then it makes the turn and stays on that course until the very last second. At the very last second, you can see it sort of try to turn off to the left just a little bit, but it was, by that point, it's way too late. I'm not saying that this was intentional sabotage, but I'm definitely not saying that it can't be. This is something that, as far as we know, and we'll never know, by the way, I mean, they're never going to tell us. As far as we know, we should treat this as it's at least a possibility that we're under attack. Okay, you got very little limited news coming over from that AT&T hack, right? From a couple weeks ago.
Right.
Was it AT&T? Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, all of a sudden, you know, this was huge news that nobody was talking about. How can you tell if something is not what they're telling you? They stop talking about it. Okay? And we've seen this with narratives. We've seen this with everything. You know, you've seen the obvious example of like, oh my gosh, mass shooting. And then all of a sudden, oh, it was a transgender minority. Never mind. Don't talk about it anymore. No, call the gun control people. Tell them to drop this one. You know, Ixnay. You know, go. You know, here, have Joe trip. Tell Joe to go trip on his way up to the stairs. That'll get all the conservatives to stop talking about the shooting. And you know, I mean, we're being played.
We are.
So, point I'm trying to get at is, you know, to the best way to fight it is to assume and question everything. Assume that it's possible. I'm not saying, you know, become paranoid and, you know, like, oh my gosh. But I am saying that you should put on your lucid glasses, we'll say, you know, or the what is it? They Live, the glasses, you know.
Oh yeah. John Carpenter's like, film back.
Yeah.
Yeah. The cult favorite.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, you know, go start looking at things with discernment. Now, back to the action. That's the action item. Now, the question that you're asking, we're at war. How's that war manifesting? Number one, it is definitely manifesting on a level, and it will continue to manifest on a level that is below the radar as much as possible for as long as possible. They're going to weaken us. I call these sabotaging body blows, okay? Whether it's an attacks on our infrastructure, attacks on our technological support system, the foundation of our technological supports here in the United States of America, attacks on the dollar, attacks on our food supply, attacks on all these little things. You know, is it a coincidence that these chicken farms or cattle ranches, you know, all of a sudden burn to the ground? You know, I got fact checked one time. It was my big fact check, because I was actually on the verge of getting banned because I was saying that there's a lot of attacks on food production plants here in the United States, and the fact check said, oh, this has been this every year there's always attacks. And so I went through and detailed how from, and correct me if the dates are wrong, but it was something from like February October of 2021 through February 2022. I can even have the years wrong. It might have been 22 to 23, but I'm getting old, so it happens. But we'll say a 4-month period right around 2021, 2022. I said, right. Here are the stories of food production plants that have explosions or other strange events happening that disable or completely destroy the plants. And there was like 17 of them. And I said, here is the search through Google News, mind you. I'm not like even going through like, oh, you know, looking on some crazy sites. Through Google News, here is every food production facility that had some sort of accident, industrial accident or potential anything, explosion, fire, anything, for the previous 10 years. And it was like 7. So during this four-month period, there was like over a dozen. And then in the previous 10 years, there had been half that.
Yeah.
I'm not crazy. I mean, I am, but.
Well, no, you know, I remember that. And I think you also, because I remember actually copying and pasting for a program I did some of that information. And you also, I think, subcategorize some of those into.
Oh, yeah.
These are hubs, you know, special hubs. But go ahead.
Yeah. No. That's I'm impressed. You know more about. I totally forgot about that. You're absolutely correct.
Yeah, I mean, you did a phenomenal job, and it made me do a double take and think, wow, you know, we've got to be under attack. I mean, this is no coincidence, and certainly, it's inexplicable unless you look at it from outside the box like you did. So, fantastic job, you know. So we're being weakened from within by enemies, I suspect, from within as well as without.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's a collaboration in many ways. Okay. You know, we are faced with enemies, foreign and domestic.
Yep.
And in many cases, the domestic, and to some extent, even the foreign enemies, but in many cases, the domestic enemies, a lot of them are just useful idiots. We don't want to, you know, I don't want to give anybody a pass, okay, because they're willfully ignorant. They're willfully idiots, okay, but they're not sitting there thinking to themselves, okay, so we're going to destroy America. They're thinking to themselves, oh, so if I just look the other way for 10 minutes, then I get like $500. Okay, cool. Let's do that. You know, you got a whole bunch of these. When I say a whole bunch, we're talking hundreds of thousands, if not millions. People have to understand that. You can't just look around and see your neighbors, see security guards, see employees that you work with, employees at other companies, whatever. You can't just look around and assume that none of them are compromised. You have to assume that a certain percentage of them are, even if they don't know it. Even if they're thinking, oh, you know, I'm just doing something little and getting, you know, retribution. A perfect example of this was when I think it was in the very beginning of the Twitter files when they were talking about, they were talking about how Twitter had a direct connection. Government, U.S. government was telling Twitter, you know, take this down, take that down, whatever. Everybody was focused on that being the big story, right? And it was. It's a huge story where you have the federal government going against our First Amendment right, even if it's by proxy, okay? Federal government was stifling free speech through their proxies and social media, in particular Twitter and Facebook, right? And that was the big story, and rightly so. But the part that we didn't miss, obviously, but I think everybody else missed was, for that to be the case, when you start adding up who knew about it, okay, it came to like 85,000 people, okay? So there were 85,000 people who were directly aware that the U.S. government was engaged in suppressing our First Amendment rights by proxy. 85,000 people were not just aware, but contributed to that. Now, stop and think about that, because if it wasn't for Twitter files, not a single one of those 85,000 people would have said a thing. They didn't say a thing. They still didn't say a thing. They were still like, oh, you know, it's like George Costanza in Seinfeld, you know, when he gets caught. He's like, was that wrong?
Wrong?
I mean, that's when these 85,000 people are like, oh, wait, the government can't tell us to suppress this person's free speech? Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize that was wrong. 85,000 Americans did that. And I'm being generous. It could have been, I mean, I was like trying to estimate downward. I'm being conservative about that. It could have been hundreds of thousands of people who, between government and big tech, were directly aware of this, and not a single one of them, during a 2.5 year period, said a word to a journalist. And if they did say a word to a journalist, that journalist covered it up themselves.
Man.
If we when we start understanding that, you know, I think the thing that keeps people from believing that in these grand conspiracies is they think, oh, if it was, you know, it'd need to be too big for that to actually be the case. Okay, yeah, you're right, and it can be, and it almost certainly is the case. So back to your original question. Problems foreign and domestic. Yes, there are people that are trying to destroy us. Is it Bill Gates? Yes. Is it Klaus Schwab? Yes. Is it George Soros? Yes. Are there the main people, the main groups we already know about, the World Economic Forum and the Open Societies and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation? Absolutely. But it's more importantly, perhaps, the ones we don't often talk about. The Council for Inclusive Capitalism. It bugs me that so few, even in our own industry, so few talk about the Council for Inclusive Capitalism. Think the WEF, for all of their evils, the World Economic Forum is essentially a think tank and a recruitment arm for the globalists. The Council for Inclusive Capitalists, which was started by the Rothschilds, which is supported by the Rockefeller Foundation and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and the Vatican, this is the action arm, okay? The World Economic Forum, great. Okay, they're bad. They've been around since, what, 1973. The Council for Inclusive Capitalism is far more powerful. They've only been around since 2017, and nobody's talking about them. And yet they have far more funding, far more influence, and there's a reason why nobody's talking about them. Okay, because they are the ones that actually make stuff such as, I mean, like World Economic Forum can say you will own nothing and be happy. The Council for Inclusive Capitalism will say, okay, go buy all the residential property in the United States. Oh, well, how much should we buy? Well, all of it. Okay, that's who they are. So, and who's their counterpart here in the United States? There's plenty of them. There's plenty of them. And they could be your neighbors. They could be your friends. Again, I don't want to get people thinking, oh my gosh, it's all bad. You know, praise God that we already know how the story ends, right? We already know how the story ends. So it's like, I can immerse myself in all this stuff and I can be like, man, that's kind of crazy. You know, that's pretty crazy. I don't get depressed though. Because I know that, okay, well, I might go through some persecution, might get beheaded or something. That'll kind of suck for a little bit. But then, hey, after all said and done, I'll be good. So I'm not too worried about it.
You know, it comes back to the spiritual aspect of things. And I think I think a lot of us, I believe, and this is just me, I think a lot of us, especially on the right, and we are Christians. We know how the story ends. We do have this belief, and we know there are going to be rough times ahead. So, but convincing people, even with that, convincing people that we're in a spiritual battle, even when you look at things like the headlines of yesterday with this rapper, you know, and the sex trafficking and sex crimes, the depravity there. Oh my gosh, you know, it's just, and we're involved in assisting other groups, you know, saving people from or saving young children from abuse, which is just, I've never seen it so bad in my life. So, but really, the driver of all of this, to me, is this demonic. And even Bannon today had said something about how demonic things are with different people, and you know, and if people like him are saying it, people, especially people, Christians should take sit up and take notice. You know, so you're right, man. You are absolutely right. How can again? I've got so many questions. Do you believe? I kind of, I'll fire some questions off here. Do you believe President Trump will survive the onslaught against him, or and be the nominee for the 2024 and prevail? Do you believe that?
I know you wanted the short answer. I'll give you the short answer, but yeah, there is a much longer answer to that. The short answer is, if he's the short answer is yes. I think that he will prevail. The real question we have to ask is why and how. And if he is made to be president again, then We'll have to determine, is that a good thing or is it a bad thing? I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm rooting for him, I'm supporting him, I'm cheering for him. But I also understand that it's kind of one of those things where basically if they steal it from him, then at least I'll know that my convictions were correct. If they don't and they could have, then I'll be like, wait a second. Why didn't they stop me? You know, wait, how did that happen? They had the means, they could have stopped it. They let it through. And that, after I helped to get him elected, then I'll be, you know, I'm watching you, Trump, or whoever, maybe it won't be Trump, maybe it'll be somebody else with him. But I mean, but the short answer is yes, I do believe that he can do it. Now, could it be divine? I do believe that God picks our leaders and that he picks them for reasons. And if things work out all hunky dory, you know, 5 years from now, we'll be looking back and it'll be like, okay, so that's why he allowed the 2020 election to be stolen, because we really needed Trump from 2025 to 2029. Got it. Now it makes sense. You know, praise God. We didn't, you know, should have trusted you. I was sitting there fighting in 2020, but it's a good thing that I was wrong. You know, who knows?
I love it.
We'll see.
I love it. And folks, now do you see the genius behind the Liberty Daily and the CERN report? I mean, the thought process that I love his thought process. What about justice? We see President Trump right now, although he had a slight win yesterday, only 175 million he's going to come up with as opposed to, you know, half a billion. Do you see justice taking place for the lawfare as well as, and I got to toss this in there, all of the lockdowns, all of the crap that we went through for 3.5 years, 4 years over a bunch of crap, a bunch of, excuse the expression, bullshit that we went through with respect to this pandemic. I mean, do you see any justice prevailing here, earthly justice prevailing against the offenders and the people behind this?
Doug, I want to say yes, but I can't. So, it's above my pay grade to know for sure, but I would argue that what we learned in 2020 after presenting mountains of evidence that the 2020 election was stolen, and then in 2022 and 2023 after presenting mountains of evidence that the vaccines were dangerous and intentionally so, and realizing that not a single person has been held accountable for two of the most egregious and demonstrable massive crimes against the American people. To see that and think, you know, will there be justice for any of it? No, I don't think so. I mean, it would take a sea change. Okay, it would take a paradigm shift. It would take more than just electing Trump and getting Republicans in office. It would have to, I mean, it would take massive revival, or it would take some sort of just huge event. Okay, and I've got some ideas of what those huge, because I will say it's possible. Unfortunately, those huge events that could make it possible would be really, really bad. Just to give you an example, no, I'm not even going to give you an example. I don't want to make it sound like, oh, I hope for destruction. No, I don't. But it would take something huge for justice to be served, and I think we've learned that. I mean, there's no sanity involved. We're in a post-truth society. When you have people who weren't even in Washington, D.C. on January 6th in going to jail for nearly 20 years, and then you have literal murderers and rapists going to jail for a few years, it's like there is no justice. It's not. People say there's a two-tier justice system. No, it's an arbitrary non-justice system is what it is. It's a, we don't like this person and we're in a blue area. So all of a sudden, you know, just like with Trump, with E. Jean Carroll.
Yeah.
Okay. And in like 95% of the districts across America, that it would never have made it to trial. And if it did go to trial, then there's zero chance that she could have won.
Right.
But because she's in a district, if she had gone on stage and she had filed charges and said, Donald Trump took me up in his spaceship and took me to Orion's Belt and And I and it was 30 years ago. I promise you it happened. And then she would have been granted like $500 million. Okay. In that district, the judge would have allowed it. The jury would have been like, oh, yeah, I'm from New York. I saw Donald Trump on a spaceship one time. Huh? You guys remember that? I told you about that. But yeah, I mean, that's the point, is that we're in it's not a two-tier justice system. It really is an arbitrary justice non-system. And that's so, no, I don't have hope. Wow. For justice to prevail in America today.
I don't either. Looking at this, and you know, just out of all of the cast of characters, you look at Fauci, and you look at what he had done, as outlined in RFK Jr.'s book. Now, I'm not a fan of RFK's politics, but his research into, like, the AIDS, HIV, the paupers, the cancer stuff, I'm awestruck by the depth of the investigation he conducted. So I'm looking at Fauci, and I'm thinking, okay, if Fauci is not brought to justice as just one of many, Barrick, another one, Ralph Barrick, Peter Daszak, of course, then I don't think we're ever going to see any kind of corporal justice here on earth against these people. So I agree with you on that. I don't see it. We only have about 14 minutes left. I want to get your take on, how do you feel? How do you handle things? I mean, you live, you're looking into the abyss, and you're picking out the things that matter the most. It's got to be rough on you. And folks, please keep J.D. Rucker in your prayers. He's been a little bit under the weather, so he's been kind enough to do this interview, even though he's just getting over some under the weather stuff. But how do you keep? I mean, obviously, your faith is strong. I can sense that. What can the average person do to? What should the average person be doing right now to protect themselves, their families, the people they care for, to prevent the stuff from that's taking place to them?
Absolutely. So there was two questions there. I'm going to answer the first question briefly, and then I'll get deeper dive into the second one, because that's right. The more important one. The first question, how do I do it? It is not me. It really is. This isn't going to be, oh, God, you know, I'm not one of those guys. But I know, I've seen enough to know that like, God makes things happen that I could never have made happen. Okay, I know that for sure. Again, I'm not trying to get preachy here. I'm just like, holy, thank you, Lord. I didn't see that one coming, you know, including 31 years ago when he gave me my wife, who I have no idea what I did, because that's like, it's like the jackpot. I mean, if you're a czar, if you ever tasted her cooking, if you ever see how she handles the kids and takes care of me, okay, you'd be like, dude, he got, talk about the lottery on wives, you know, and between those things. And of course, wonderful kids, wonderful, wonderful friends, a wonderful, you know, that's what keeps me going. And the aforementioned reading the book and knowing how it ends and being okay with it, you know, but it does come, you know, I don't care how faithful somebody is. I don't think anybody really truly has enough faith to be like, okay, yeah, let's just let it all happen. You know, and if they have too much faith in that regard, sometimes they don't take care of themselves. And so, you know, I always say there's five things you need. Okay. Five things that, and I'm a prepper at heart. This is what I do for a living, by the way. I'm a prepper at heart. And so you've got to have, number one, first and foremost, the Bible. Okay. Just saying.
Amen.
Number two, you have to have ammunition.
Amen.
Okay. And well, you have to have firearm, but that's kind of assumed. If you got 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, you're going to have a firearm. So you need to have ammunition. Water is extraordinarily important. Okay. People sometimes forget that part.
Yep.
Okay. You need a gallon of water a day, at least a minimum of a liter, but preferably a gallon of water a day. And that's a lot of water if you're trying to support a family and the tap is not spitting out. Not that you should be drinking anything that comes out of the tap anyway, unless it's filtered, but that's a whole other discussion. Energy. You got to have energy. Okay. And that could be solar, that could be bicycle energy, that could be hand crank stuff, it could be your own labor. Okay, energy could be, hey, you know, I've got a can opener, and so I'm going to use my energy, which is my hands, to open up my can, otherwise, you know. So there's that. And then the fifth one, which is the part where I do professionally, is food preparation, or food stability, we'll call it, food security. Okay, we own a company that we launched this back in 2021, seeing the writing on the wall, and it's like, hell, holy crap, this is looking pretty bad. What can we do? I got with a couple of disabled veterans who they're like, you know, we know about survival. You know about survival. And we were talking one day, not about forming a company. We were talking one day about preparation, and we all agreed. It's like, you know, I actually kind of like the this brand spaghetti, and oh, have you tried the stroganoff over here? And then another one, you know, and it's like, yeah, but we all agreed. But the beef crumbles, I remember very vividly Jason Storm Nelson telling me, he said, yeah, it tastes like meat flavored porridge. Okay, freeze dried beef crumbles. Yes. He said it tastes like meat flavored porridge.
Yep.
And look, I mean, people say, oh, you know, in a survival situation, I'm not going to care what it tastes like. Okay, you've never tried this, obviously, because it's like, you know, you start eating it, by the third bite, you're like, oh, forget it. Just take me away, Jesus. I don't want to. I'm not going to eat this anymore.
Yeah.
I guess I'll go get a cricket burger in the FEMA line. So we formed a company, RanchersSelectBeef.com. Rancher, singular. It's not Ranchers Select. It's RanchersSelectBeef.com.
Okay.
And started doing real meat. Like we got Texas beef, like that's literally from Texas, not just quote unquote made in America, because a lot of beef that says product of the USA is actually imported, and then if it's processed here they can slap that. Our cows were born in Texas. Okay, they eat grass in Texas, and then when they're done, they get slaughtered in Texas. The only time they don't leave Texas until they're in a bag and then shipped out. And it's the good stuff. It's ribeye, New York strip, tenderloin, sirloin, all that good stuff. And it's, you know, it says in the bag 10 plus year shelf life. We're being generous. It really, realistically, it's 25 year shelf life according to USDA, because it's freeze dried. It's cooked sous vide. Okay, freeze dried. We don't add any ingredients, no preservatives. We don't even add salt. It's literally just beef. Okay, throw it in a Mylar bag with oxygen absorbers, 25 year shelf life. You don't need to refrigerate it. You just rehydrate it in hot water. I like to rehydrate mine in beef broth because, like, again, it has no salt, so it's good to add the salt later. But and that's what we decided to do. And so I know you didn't know this. Oh, go ahead.
On your last point here, okay, I will say this. I have tried every beef product out there, the freeze-dried beef product. All right. Now, there's one exception. And it's an individual who actually freeze dries his own beef. Okay, and it's very, very particular. Now, obviously, that's not for sale on the open market. So I've been looking for exactly this, and so I've just found this, folks. You know, when I get excited about something, I share it with you. RanchSelectBeef.com.
Rancher.
Or, I'm sorry.
Rancher.
I can't even read my own writing here. Okay, Rancher.
Yeah, it's RancherSelectBeef.com.
Oh,
now I'm gonna have to go buy RanchSelectBeef.com and redirect it.
No.
RancherSelectBeef.com.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I should.
It's okay, because it's reiteration. Now we get to say it over and over again. Rancher. It's Rancher. RancherSelectBeef.com. Rancher. We love it.
Okay. Eric just told me, he's been telling me I should have been a doctor. It would fit my handwriting. Okay, Rancher
Select. I just bought that domain, so he's going to have to buy it from me.
Right, exactly.
That wasn't a slip. That was all right. So RancherSelectBeef.com, and this doesn't taste like cardboard. You're telling me that, right?
Right. No, it does not. It's real. Again, look, we get these are Texas beef, and it's the good stuff. It is really is legitimately like ribeye. Okay, it's not like ribeye flavored beef particles. This is we take a cow and we get it, we slaughter it, we chop it up, we take the ribeye portion of it, the rib meat, not the rib meat, the what's it called? I'm having a brain fart because it's the sickness. The the rib part, the prime rib part, where you know, you take that big. Anyway, yeah. So we take it, we chop it up into cube sizes, and then we cook it sous vide, and we freeze dry it. Okay, we freeze dry it. It's preserved for like up to 25 years. The reason we do it like this is because it's, you know, you can do dehydrated. You can get what's it called, like jerky, right? And that'll have a couple, two or three year shelf life. But with freeze dried, it, number one, it preserves the nutrition, preserves the flavor, and gives it a longer shelf life. It's the freeze drying process takes about 30 hours. Okay, it's not an easy process.
Yep.
You know, you can get a freeze dryer, which I recommend. By the way, you're saying that your friend does it, has his own beef and freeze dries it. That's
he does.
Look, I'm not going to lie. That's the best way to do it. If you, I'm not look like I'm the alternative. Okay, I'm for the 98% that doesn't have access to this. If you've got access to your own beef, you got your own freeze dryer, or somebody who has a freeze dryer, and you can get your beef and do it yourself, awesome. I would strongly recommend that. But if not, we're the great alternative at RancherSelectBeef.com. And I didn't tell you this. Or I might have, I don't think I told you this. Like you'll see on the screen, it says clean cows for up to 15% off as a promo code. We actually made a promo code Hagman, H-A-G-M-A-N-N. Hagman will give people 25% off. So if they go to RancherSelectBeef.com, they use promo code Hagman, they'll get 25% off on their order. And
how
that's
great
something
is that?
That yeah. Well, I mean, it's, I love you, man. You've been fighting the good fight. Your audience deserves it. So,
well, I'll tell you what. Back at you. I again, folks, take advantage of this Rancher. Notice I got that right. RancherSelectBeef.com. RancherSelectBeef.com. Promo code Hagman for 25% off. And as I like to say, you'll thank me later on this because you cannot buy this quality of beef anywhere else. And I say that with all of the knowledge. Look, I've eaten my share of cardboard, okay, beef tasting cardboard. And this, of course, is the Cadillac. And I have been looking for just this, and I appreciate you doing this for us. Yeah, and I know the work, the labor intensive part of this. So, folks, there it is. There's the answer to your prayers, your wishes, your desires, and that is quality all beef. Prep with steaks, not beef crumbles, as the screen says. So RancherSelectBeef.com, Hagman 25% off with the promo code Hagman, that is. All right. So in the remaining couple of moments we have left here, what are your final thoughts? Anything you'd like to close with here? We've got about 2.5 minutes.
Sure. It's not just about preparation, but that's an important part of it. It's not just about information though, and discernment though, that's an important part of it. The reason that I go against like what a lot of people say, especially preppers say, oh, don't talk about your preps. I disagree. I say, tell everybody that you're prepping, tell them to go prep. We're going to need allies because let's say Doug, that things get a little crazy. Okay. Then we need to be able to fight back, and we need people that aren't beholden to government or these public-private partnerships to be able to fight with us. Or let's say that it gets very crazy, and we've really got to fight back. Now we're really going to need as many allies as possible because they outnumber us, okay? The forces of evil plus the useful idiots they've got working with them, they outnumber us. We have more guns, just saying. I'm not saying, I'm just saying. But they still outnumber us. But let's say things go really bad. Let's say China, Russia, U.S., North Korea, Iran, there's this whole big, huge war, and all of a sudden things go crazy. Let's say any of 500. What about the whole squatter scenario that I told you about earlier? There's at least a dozen existential threats. At any given moment in our history, we've faced one or two, maybe worst case scenario, three existential threats as a nation. Today, we face over a dozen. Never happened before. Okay. We face over a dozen. Any one of those threats could take us out. And let's say that something does go south. Then we're going to need allies in order to rebuild.
There we are.
God forbid it comes to that, but we're going to need people that are not sitting in lines, people that are not. That's why I say get your Bibles, make sure you got your Bibles, your ammo, your water, your energy, and your food supply. Okay, you got those five things. There's a few other things. I don't want to say that's a definitive list. There's actually 17 things that you need, but we can talk about that next time. But if you got those five things covered, accumulate, inform, keep everybody going, because otherwise you might not want to do it, but you could become our enemy. You might be, you know, super patriotic, super Christian, super whatever, but for most people, if they're not ready to be able to fight, if they're faced with death or death of their family or family members, then they won't be our friends. They will be our enemies. They will turn us in. They will fight against us. So I'm trying to make sure that we have as few as what I shouldn't say as few enemies, because we want to have as many friends and allies as possible going into the crazy stuff. That's all.
As many friends as possible. Wow. What a great time. I want to thank you for your great gracious gift of time. And I know that, you know, not quite feeling well. I appreciate you coming on regardless. And now, folks, you know the genius behind the Liberty Daily and the Discern Report. I so appreciate that, and I so appreciate you giving me the show prep on a daily basis. You're doing God's work. God bless you, and please come back with me.
I certainly will. God bless you as well and your audience.
All right. That'll do it, folks. Good night.